Welcome to Paint the Streets. In partnership with Worcester Paint Festival, this colourful and vibrant exhibition explores the origins and evolution of street art. Although people have been creatively expressing themselves in public spaces throughout history, the word graffiti can still stir controversy. The graffiti scene spans over 50 years, at times battling authorities, but also developing into a more socially accepted art form of mural art. Paint the Streets celebrates the roots of this cultural movement and features works by pivotal US and UK artists, as well as current creatives linked to Worcester Paint Festival. The exhibition commentary starts on the right side of the gallery to the left-hand side of the gallery desk. The first graffiti and the origins of the cultural scene we know today appeared on walls in Philadelphia in 1965 with Cornbread's Scrappy Tag. The simplest and most prevalent type of graffiti, a tag is a stylized signature, normally executed in a single color which contrasts sharply with its background. Cornbread's tag in Philadelphia was followed shortly afterwards by tacky 183s in New York, and with it a rise in the development of wild-style lettering and spray paint through the 1970s. Wild-style is graffiti with text so stylized it is difficult to read, often with interlocking three-dimensional type. The late 70s and early 80s saw a boom of new wave and graffiti scenes in New York. New wave was a brief underground art and music scene that crossed multiple genres and included Andy Warhol, Madonna, William Burroughs, Debbie Harry, and with the soon-to-be legendary Keith Haring already throwing up his chalk artworks in the subways. Jean-Michel Basquiat pushed boundaries in his iconic and tragically short life, embellishing walls with messages of social and political frustration. Notable graffiti writers such as Lee Quinone, T-Kid, Futura 2000, Blade, Dondi, Scene and Lady Pink contributed to the rise of subway painting that truly heralded the graffiti movement as we know it. On the wall to the left of the desk is a print of a poster by Andy Warhol promoting the exhibition Warhol Basquiat Paintings, which took place in 1985. On a yellow background, images of Warhol and Basquiat are printed in black and white. Facing the viewer, they are holding up their hands wearing boxing gloves and have small red stars printed above their heads. The text above and below the image gives details of the exhibition, which ran during September and October 1985. A strong and turbulent friendship developed between Andy Warhol and Jean-Michel Basquiat, which spanned the 6 years up to Warhol's death in 1987. Beginning as an admiration for one another's work, it developed into a complex friendship and symbiotic creative pairing which gave birth to numerous joint paintings. On the wall to your left is a print of Keith Haring's Blue Baby. On a blue background, drawn in thick black lines, a crawling baby has lines emanating from its body surrounded by squiggles. The radiant baby is highly recognisable as Keith Haring's most iconic tag. Haring described the nature of the image as representing purity, innocence, and hope for the future. Haring would often be found scribbling with chalk in the subways of New York, a firm part of the graffiti and new wave scenes in the city in the early 80s, alongside Basquiat. He collaborated on art and music projects, including with Grace Jones and Malcolm McLaren. Haring was diagnosed with HIV/AIDS in 1987. He died in 1990, leaving a legacy of instantly recognisable, iconic drawings, as well as the Keith Haring Foundation, a non-profit organisation committed to raising awareness of HIV and AIDS through art programming and community outreach. Quote, "I don't think art is propaganda. It should be something that liberates the soul, provokes the imagination, and encourages people to go further. It celebrates humanity instead of manipulating it." Next, we have a print of Jean-Michel Basquiat's work titled Hollywood Africans, painted in 1983 on loan from the Whitney Museum of American Art. Considered one of the most significant artists of the 20th century, Basquiat went from playing with Xerox copiers and selling $50 drawings to being the must-have item artistically and physically in the buzzing 80s new wave scene until his tragic overdose in 1988 at the age of 27. The vibrant Basquiat hung out with Andy Warhol, had a love affair with Madonna, painted alongside Keith Haring, and is much in demand still to this day. Hollywood Africans is one of a series of Basquiat's paintings that feature images and texts relating to stereotypes of African Americans in the entertainment industry. Several of the work's notations are autobiographical. A trio of figures on the right depicts the artist with the rap musician Ramelzi and the painter Toxic, and he includes the digits of his birth date, 12, 22 and 60. Other notations are historical. Phrases such as sugarcane, tobacco, gangsterism and what is Bwana allude to the limited roles available to black actors in old Hollywood movies. The notion of exclusion or excision is reiterated in the way that Basquiat often crossed out words or phrases in his works, and examples of this appear in Hollywood Africans. The technique, he explained, was actually meant to direct attention to them. Quote, "I cross out words so you will see them more. The fact that they are obscured makes you want to read them." Below this artwork is a case containing a book titled Subway Art by Martha Cooper and Henry Chalfont, open to show three rows of subway train carriages all painted in colourful graffiti. The book's cover shows an artist with a spray can working on a subway carriage. The explosion of subway painting, with artists competing for the best exposure across New York, became the passion of two local photographers, Martha Cooper and Henry Chalfont. Cooper and Chalfont carefully documented the trains and artists of New York, releasing a book showcasing their work, Subway Art, in 1984. Little did they know the impact this book would have around the world. In the UK, graffiti culture exploded from London to Glasgow, with significant clusters in Bristol and the Midlands, especially in Birmingham and Wolverhampton. Young artists in Worcester also made their marks across the city at this time, later creating their own event, Class of 89, which drew young artists from the UK and beyond. In 1987, a major graffiti contest took place in Bridlington in East Riding of Yorkshire, bringing together graffiti writers from all over the UK, as well as artists from the New York scene. Martin Jones, the photographer of some of the images in this exhibition, and manager of UK hip-hop and graffiti artist Goldie, helped to attract US artists and make practical arrangements for the contest. We now come to the first of four large-scale pieces created at the Bridlington event, each measuring 20 feet by 8 feet. On loan from East Riding of Yorkshire Council, these works were displayed in Bridlington Leisure Centre after the event, but have been in storage for many years. It's a very rare opportunity to view some of the original panels from that time. This piece is titled Chrome and was painted by Mode, the Chrome Angels and Cult, and the Bad Boys crew. Dominating the centre of the piece, the word chrome is written in wild style, with gradation from yellow at the top to pink at the bottom of the letters. 1987 is painted above in red. On either side of the word chrome are figures. On the right are two female figures, one in a black puffer jacket wearing a headscarf, pointing angrily at the viewer. The other figure has just the bottom half of her face and her torso visible. She has red lips and wears a blue strapless top. A blue alien-like figure is crouched at the bottom of the image, facing the viewer. On the left side of the word chrome are three more figures. At the bottom is the face of a young woman with dark hair looking toward the viewer. Above her is a young male wearing a red jacket, holding a spray can in one hand and holding the other hand out towards the viewer in a grasping gesture. At the top of the image, we see the back view of another male figure in a blue jacket and wearing a red baseball cap. Behind you is the second of the large pieces created at the Bridlington contest. Titled Da Bronx and painted by T-Kid, this busy and colourful piece in blues, pinks, purples and yellow is full of movement. Along the bottom right of the piece is a stylized silver subway train. In the centre, the word Da Bronx is written in black spray paint on a yellow background. Written in the top left corner are the words, "For my son, Julius Jr." In the bottom right are the artist and crew names Two Draw, Terrible Trio and the Nasty Boys. Turn back around to face the right-hand wall and move to the left of the large artwork titled Chrome. The next section focuses on the history of street art in Worcester. The first generation of Worcester graffiti writers in the 1980s had drawn influences from the earlier two-tone movement. Hand styles and 3D letter forms were appearing around the city centre as hip-hop culture began to arrive from America. Cruz studied graffiti-style record covers in Worcester's record stores and became further inspired by the New York artist's characters and pieces illustrated in the 1984 book Subway Art by Martha Cooper and Henry Chalfant. By 1985, active Cruz had formed various routes in Worcester, getting up tags and high-visibility pieces, then travelling to Birmingham spots such as Radcliffe Tunnel. The 1987 exhibition Rock in the City, New York Street Art at Birmingham Central Library Exhibition Hall was a chance to meet other writers from around the country and to pick up new techniques and links to paint spots in other cities. In 1988, the writers caught the attention of journalist Bob Blanford, who produced a local media feature, Great Press for Graffiti Art in Worcester. Several sites that Cruz had been painting, including the Waterworks Hall of Fame, the Old Glove Factory and the Old Prison, had become dedicated spots where writers were left to paint without bother. Graffiti was becoming more accepted. In 1989, Andrew Dawson, an arts development youth worker, along with the city's active artists, coordinated a plan to hold a graffiti and street art jam, inviting some of the best artists from around the country. After gaining funding from Worcester Arts Council, the event was held at the City Youth Centre. Space was limited, but artists compromised by collaborating. The jam became known as Class of 89. The following year, they held an exhibition here at Worcester City Art Gallery and Museum called Expressions. On the wall is a frame containing newspaper clippings about the Class of 89 event, as well as an event programme. Next, we have a grouping of framed artworks by the Worcester Posse. Most are A4 sized on paper or canvas. The artworks have colourful wild style lettering and shapes, and some feature characters. Moving to your left, there is a panel of 6x4 inch photographs taken during the 1980s and 90s, showing the vast talent and skill of graffiti artists. Some of the walls were created illegally, whilst others were created where permission was granted. This year, for the first time, Worcester Paint Festival 2023, in partnership with Worcestershire County Council and Worcester Writers, has secured a legal graffiti wall in Worcester. Below the photographs is a case containing various items from members of the Worcester Posse from the period 1985 to 1998. These include photographs of artists, black books containing sketches, and early schoolbook covers showcasing artwork designs. On the wall to your left is a large photograph of artists Steph and Mode working with spray cans creating the artwork titled Chrome at Bridlington in 1987. In the foreground of the image is a drum on top of which is an array of spray cans and their lids. The image is displayed with the kind permission of Martin Jones, Zulu Dawn Hip Hop Collection based at Dudley Archives. On your left is an archway. Move to the wall on the left side of the archway, where you'll find another large image taken at Bridlington in 1987. This shows the artists Two-Draw, Goldie and T-Kid standing in front of T-Kid's artwork titled Da Bronx. The next section of the exhibition focuses on Bristol, a city with a rich history of street art and still continuing to be a main powerhouse in the scene. In 1985, Barton Hill Youth Centre became Bristol's first legal site for graffiti, and lead youth worker John Nation was an integral part of the Bristol street art story. During the 80s and 90s, he nurtured several waves of talented young artists and created a space that was known across the world as a hub for graffiti and street art. In 1989, Operation Anderson, the UK's biggest anti-graffiti police investigation, took place, with 72 writers charged. John Nation was arrested and charged with conspiracy, but later acquitted. Many writers continued to paint using new tags whilst on bail awaiting trial. The same year, artists Inky and Chio came second in the crew section at the 1989 Bridlington contest and firmly shone a spotlight on Bristol. In 1990, the BBC screened Drawing the Line, focusing on Operation Anderson, Barton Hill, the writers, the police and John Nation's work. Artists Inky, Chio and Junks painted live on ITV's This Morning and were interviewed alongside John Nation. countless newspapers, magazines, radio shows gave huge coverage to the city's story. A second wave of prominent artists rose in the 1990s, and Bristol is now home to a multitude of murals and graffiti and hosts the largest street art festival in Europe. On this wall is a panel of 6x4-inch photos taken and loaned by John Nation. The photos were taken in the late 80s at Barton Hill Youth Club. Some show artworks on the youth club building and some are of groups of young artists. Below the photographs is a case containing items relating to the street art scene in Bristol, which emerged during the 1980s. Items include sketches, flyers and newspaper articles, including one with a photo of John Nation with the headline "Graffiti Artist is Innocent, OK, Youth Leader 27 Cleared Over Paint Attacks." There is an aerosol workshops flyer by Inky, an Arnolfini show poster designed by 3D in 1985, and a postcard from New York artist Vulcan. Now move along to your left to the other side of the archway. Here we have another huge artwork created at the Bridlington contest in 1987. This piece is titled "Heading for Global Destruction" by Goldie. The left side of the piece has the word "global" in large wild-style text, filled in with silver, pink and blue. Above this are the words "heading for" and below it the word "destruction" painted in blue. On the right of the image, a large silver humanoid robot with red eyes is seated within a clear dome. Behind you is the fourth of the large-scale artworks created at the 1987 Bridlington contest. This work by New York artist Vulcan is titled "Aerosol Dreams." Displayed with kind permission of Martin Jones, Zulu Dawn Hip Hop Collection based at Dudley Archives. This piece is dominated by a large pair of blue eyes in a yellow face running along the top of the piece. Below the eyes, a line of waves is filled with a pattern of pink and blue check. Below this is a line of silver wild-style lettering. Go to the far left end of this artwork, and to your left you will find a tool case containing graffiti tools, including a selection of spray cans and markers. Tools used by 1980s writers could range from fat markers or pump-action pens to car parts shop spray paint. Techniques picked up from other writers included customising paint caps by boring out holes to make the paint spray wider to produce fat lines, and making stencil caps by drilling small holes in can lids to produce super skinny lines. These techniques often resulted in spillages and wasted paint. Many graffiti pieces still contain some kind of nod to the early days, such as signature tags, fat and skinny lines, and intentional paint drips. This shows united pride in the roots of the culture. A community developed among writers, mentoring each other, with elders encouraging and nurturing youngsters. Today, street artists still mentor and support one another and maintain a strong community within the scene. Behind you is the entrance to the watercolour gallery where the exhibition continues. As you go through the arch, turn left. On the wall to your left is a TV screen showing a time-lapse film which shows the process of a piece being created by the artist Ziazem. The film has no sound. The artist, working with a spray can, creates a background of large light grey bricks, creating the effect of a stone wall. Over this, he paints large wild-style lettering in yellow, pink, blue and brown. On the wall to your right are a selection of artworks by Worcester Paint Festival artists, all of which are for sale. There is also a case containing 3D artworks that are also for sale. Behind you is a freestanding display case also containing 3D pieces that are for sale. Worcester Paint Festival started in 2020 with a handful of murals due to the pandemic, before the first festival launched in 2021. The festival aims to inspire, include and educate, delivering murals to the city each year from both established and emerging artists and working with the city's communities. Now move to the far wall of the gallery. During the 1990s, the term street art became a well-used way of describing the new styles of work that were appearing. Street art pieces were usually painted legally in public places, utilising a much wider range of mediums, from stenciling to freehand painting. It was open to a wider artist pool, including graphic designers, illustrators, and fine artists. The art featured subject matter such as florals, faces, nature, and patterns, although political messages were still on the agenda for artists like Banksy and Shepherd Fairey. This shift also opened up the art form to more female artists. Whilst there were female graffiti artists in the early American scene, such as Barbara 62 and Lady Pink, it was a mostly male-dominated world. Today there are thousands of female, all-gender and non-binary artists throwing up pieces. The artworks along this wall are all by Banksy. Banksy is both a household name across the world and a name chosen in order to remain anonymous. Mystery surrounds who he really is despite global interest. Banksy's work is extensive and often political. He has collaborated with other artists including Inky and 3D, designed record covers, set up exhibitions like Santa's Ghetto, and created immersive productions such as his sellout bleak take on theme parks, Dismaland, in Weston-super-Mare in 2015. Banksy has also created original artworks and limited editions of silkscreen prints, which are authenticated by Pest Control, the website that handles all paperwork related to the artist. The first artwork by Banksy is titled Tank Girl with Yellow Bird, created in 2003. Painted in black and white on a flattened cardboard box, a young girl is wearing black trainers and knee-high socks and a large overcoat. On her head she wears an old diver's helmet. A cartoon yellow bird flutters above her head. Dripping paint runs from the bird and also from the girl's clothing and shoes. The piece was made as a design for the cover of the Britpop band Blur's Think Tank album, although it was not selected. From a private collection, this work has been certified by Pictures on Walls, a precursor to Pest Control. Moving to your right, we have a framed poster showing Banksy's artwork titled Think Tank that was chosen for Blur's Think Tank album. On a concrete grey background, a couple painted in black and white stand in an embrace while wearing divers' helmets. Paint streaks run down from their clothing. The words Think Tank are written in red block capital letters across the centre of the piece at the couple's chest height. Above this is a copy of Blur's album Think Tank showing Banksy's artwork. Moving along, there is a framed wooden postcard titled Peckham Rock. In the style of a cave drawing, it depicts a prehistoric figure pushing a shopping trolley. In the distance is a cow or buffalo with spears in its side. The piece was placed by Banksy in the British Museum in 2005, and it stayed in position for 3 days before it was noticed. Replica postcards were later sold by the British Museum. Next is a print by Banksy titled Laugh Now. Painted in black and white on a pale brown background, a downcast chimpanzee stands with a large sign strapped to his front, which reads, Laugh now, but one day we'll be in charge. This print is one of many that are sold that are not authenticated by Banksy's website, Pest Control. In the case behind you is an authenticated limited edition print of the same artwork. Banksy is generous in his approach to personal and non-commercial use of his images, but many companies profit from selling unauthenticated reproductions. On the wall to the right of the print of Laugh Now, we have a limited edition print titled Happy Choppers. In this image, in a bright blue background with low white clouds, a squadron of Apache helicopters, adorned with pink bows, flies towards the viewer. Banksy created this work at the time of military intervention in Afghanistan. Moving along, the last artwork by Banksy is a print titled Kate Moss. This image of Kate Moss with features of Marilyn Monroe makes a clear visual reference to the work of Andy Warhol. On a yellow background, Kate Moss has bright blue hair styled like Marilyn Monroe. She has yellow eyeshadow and pink lips with a beauty spot on the right side of her mouth. Turning to the wall on your right is another artwork titled Kate Moss, created by Mr. Brainwash in 2011. Mr. Brainwash's work fuses pop art and street art. He works with musicians, celebrities, sports and popular culture and came to prominence in the 2010 film Exit Through the Gift Shop, which was directed by Banksy. The head and shoulder image of Kate Moss is printed on a sheet of newspaper. A large pink paint splatter covers her face, with the streaks radiating from her head. Moving along, we have two artworks by Shepherd Fairey, an American contemporary artist, activist and founder of Obey Clothing, who emerged from the skateboarding scene. The top artwork is a print titled Arab Woman, and it portrays a young Arab woman wearing a headscarf in a colour palette of black, browns and cream. Shepherd Fairey created this image 3 years after the start of the Second Gulf War in response to the extreme anti-Islamic rhetoric of the time. Fairey portrays her as a characteristically strong woman who looks directly at the viewer, confidently but not menacingly. Her countenance is appealing and relatable, stimulating humanity and compassion and challenging preconceived notions about Muslims, otherwise perceived as the enemy. The floral design over the woman's skin and clothing is of Turkish origin and is intended to subconsciously evoke a unified appreciation of beauty and function as a bridge between the West and the Middle East. The print below is titled Compassion, His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Shepherd Fairey created this limited edition print in 2010 in honour of the Dalai Lama's 75th birthday and in celebration of Tibetan Independence Day on March the 10th that year. The work is based on an image taken by renowned photographer and documentarian Don Farber, who has spent more than 30 years covering the Tibetan leader and community in exile. In a warm palette of red, cream and black, the Dalai Lama is portrayed gazing towards the bottom right-hand corner of the image, with light falling across his face. In the top left is a cream-coloured mandala, in the centre of which is a flying dove. Below this is the word compassion. Moving to your right, we have two artworks by Bristol artist Inky. Named in Time Out's Top 100 UK Creatives in 2012, Tom Bingle, aka Inky, has emerged as one of the most prolific graffiti writers in UK history. He has painted with some of the biggest artists in the scene, including Banksy, Nick Walker and Massive Attack's 3D. Inky's art is characterised by a unique collaboration of graffiti and figurative imagery. His widely recognised Ink Nouveau style draws on Art Nouveau influences with an unmistakable urban twist. The first artwork is titled Duchess Vert, created in 2023. It is spray paint, acrylic and liquid leaf on canvas. The heads of two female figures in profile dominate the left of the image looking to the right. The women's long dark hair, which sweeps around the left side and along the bottom of the artwork, is highlighted with blues and purples and dashes of pink and bright green. The right of the image is decorated with a floral and leaf pattern in turquoise and cream. Moving along, we have another artwork by Inky. This piece is titled Wildstyle ABC, in spray paint and acrylic on canvas. In portrait orientation, the alphabet is written in large wild-style text in vibrant orange at the top of the block of text with gradation to bright pink at the bottom. The text is bordered by black spray paint, which makes it pop and appear 3D. Blue stars have been painted around the border on a background of orange and pink. On the wall to your right is a large, almost photorealistic portrait of Kiddo from the breakdance crew Wolverhampton B-Boys, created in 2014 by the artist Title, and on loan from East Riding of Yorkshire Council. The work is spray paint on board and shows a close-up portrait of Kiddo looking straight at the viewer, smiling. He wears sunglasses and a red bucket hat. We have now come to the end of the commentary. We hope you have enjoyed the exhibition and your visit to Worcester City Art Gallery and Museum. We look forward to welcoming you again soon.